it had just turned the new year down in Australia. So they're several hours ahead of us. I don't know how that works. They're in a different year already. But I thought, if I'm making a trip somewhere special for New Year's Eve, I'm not going to New York City to stand in the cold out there in Times Square and watch the ball drop. I'm going down there where they have fireworks and 80-degree temperatures. Anybody signing up to go with me? All right. Hallelujah. Well, I've been a little hesitant about the message tonight because I guess it's not a traditional New Year's watch night service type message. And probably, though, it does speak more to the communion service that we heard, that we had earlier. So I trust the Lord will help us tonight. If you have your Bibles and want to read along with me, I'll read from the book of Ephesians tonight, Ephesians chapter number 3. And I'm feeling great sympathy tonight for Brother Jason and his family and Brother Radcliffe and his family. Come expecting to hear Brother Brim preach and get stuck with this. Believe me, Brother Mike, he does preach. And he's an awesome preacher. Amen. And I'm really happy to have Brother Jason with us tonight. My first position in the ministry was a summer internship for his father. That was way back in 1976. And he was just a little boy. And I got to go on family vacation with them that summer. Man, do I have stories that I could tell. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's stand for the reading of the scripture tonight. I'm going to pick up in verse number 8 where it's sort of interrupting a train of thought that the Apostle Paul is embarking on. But he says here in verse number 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Again, I'm stopping before he was finished, but I want to draw your attention to verse number 8, where he's so grateful to be among those that have been given grace to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. This is a message I'm guaranteed to fail at, because how do you describe something that's indescribable, or search out something that's unsearchable? But with the Lord's help tonight, I would like to try to preach to you about the riches of the redeemed tonight. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, we do appreciate everything that's already been done in this service. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful communion service that we had a while ago. And now, Lord, as we come to the preaching part of this New Year's Eve, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. Draw us all closer to you around these altars after a while. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. A while ago, we drank from a little tiny cup, a drop of unfermented wine, and it touched our hearts and reminded us of all that Christ has done for us. And the world is going to be drinking wine by the bottles full tonight and wake up with a world of regret tomorrow. And the scripture says wine is a mocker and strong drink is deceiving. And they're being deceived and mocked by the wine tonight that is intoxicating. I'm glad for that new wine that we have in Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Here, the Apostle Paul is overwhelmed with gratitude that he has been called by God and given grace by God to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. This is a big subject, and there's a lot of things that I want to attempt to try to speak with you tonight about. But as I said, this is an unsearchable subject. Now, being New Year's Eve, of course, I wanted to talk to you about the past, the present, and the future, and that wasn't the message that I had. So I was blessed to hear our pastor preach last Sunday, both services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, dealing with those very subjects. So he has already preached our New Year's Eve message. He's already prepared us for the coming year, the regrets of the past, putting them behind us, moving on, and reaching towards the things that are ahead of us. And so many ways, when you're dealing with the past and the present and the future, you're dealing with the measurements of time. And so here tonight, we are in that unique period of time where we are seeing the end of a year, looking forward to the end of the year. And actually, if we were here right at midnight in the final seconds of the year, we would be seeing the final seconds, the final minutes, the final hour, the final week, the final month, the final year, the final moments of a year. And so it's a wonderful time to reflect. But there's other ways to measure things too. And so I'm going to be measuring things a little bit differently tonight, based on this word from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. It has been given to me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. You may not be rich by the world standards, but let's take a vote tonight. How many of you really do feel rich tonight? Praise God. I mean, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about rich in the things that really matter. You see, really, when it's all said and done, the best things in life aren't things. So it really doesn't matter how much money we've got in the bank if it makes us unhappy, or how big the house is, or how many cars we have, if it doesn't bring with us any joy, any peace, any happiness. But we have found the things that have brought all of that and more. Amen. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Praise God. This word here, unsearchable, is an interesting word. It's not found many times in the Bible. In fact, it's only mentioned, I think, 5 times. And we get the feeling, at least the commentators say, that they believe that Paul was borrowing from the Old Testament book of Job, because it was Job who said in chapter 5, verse 9, which doeth great things. And Job is talking about God, of course, and he's reflecting on the great things of God. And he says, God, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. And it may be that Paul is borrowing that phraseology from Job and reflecting about these great things, unsearchable things, marvelous things without number. And he is applying them now to everything that we have in Jesus Christ. Later on in chapter 9 of Job, he says practically the same thing, but slightly different, which doeth great things past finding out, Job says. Past finding out. And then he says there, yea, and wonders without number. This word unsearchable comes from a Greek word that I can't pronounce, so I won't attempt to do that tonight. But it has various meanings. And one of those meanings has a connotation of a surveyor. The word means untraceable, or literally untrackable. So it has a connotation of measurement that is pretty vast. In other words, something that is untraceable or untrackable can't be measured with a ruler. You're not going to measure it with a tape measure. You know, so many inches or a foot or two, or I think this is a thinks this is a 12-foot tape measure, and I could have Brother David handle one end of it, and I'd pull it all the way out, and we would measure as much as we could with this. This is not how you measure the things of God. This isn't how you measure the riches of Christ. The Apostle Paul is telling us here that it's a measurement way beyond the normal measurements of man. It is beyond measure. It is untrackable, untraceable. It is a surveyor's term. They're going to use completely different tools for measurement. They're going to look through telescopes and mark out great distances and then use equations to add that all up to come up with distances that equal acres or miles or whole countries. Amen. It's beyond our ability to fathom that when we're talking about the riches of Christ, it is unmeasurable, it is untrackable, it is untraceable. Praise God. Amen. I have kind of an interest in Lewis and Clark history, and as interesting as I find that, I am embarrassed to say that I've never gone up here to Hartford and climbed the Lewis and Clark Tower. Anybody here done that yet? I'm going to do that one of these days. Congratulations. I'm glad that you did it. I have been there. I have pulled off down there in the park, and I know that they've got the reconstructed fort there that would remind you of what Lewis and Clark lived in their final days before they embarked on that great journey across the Mississippi River into the mouth of the Missouri River, and they traveled that river into unknown territories, making intricate notes as they went along, markings. Way up in Montana, I have actually been on a boat ride at the other end of the Missouri River. You can go at the headwaters of the Missouri River at that end up there near Missoula, Montana. And there's a place in the canyon where they say that there's markings on the wall that Lewis and Clark made there to measure and mark the progress of their journey to that point. Amen. The hundreds of miles, the thousands of miles these surveyors traveled. You know what? If we're going to be true Christians, there's going to have to be somewhat of a spirit of a surveyor, of an explorer, of an adventurer. And I want to tell you that I feel on this Wednesday night, as we mark the end of 2014 and we look into 2015, we need something of the Lewis and Clark spirit to get a hold of us again, to let us know that even though we know something about the journey and something about our experience with Christ, and we have understood and experienced something of His grace, we don't yet know it all. We haven't yet seen it all. We haven't yet comprehended or measured it all. Amen. That, my friend, is beyond measurement. It is unsearchable. Praise God. I don't think that we'll truly experience the blessings and benefits of God as long as we're content to be pew potatoes. You know, that's just a reworking of couch potato. We're not going to just sit here and say, ho-hum, we've experienced it all, heard it all, we know that, we've memorized it. Amen. There has to be something in us of the Apostle Paul here that says, amen, oh, what a great grace has been given to me that I could speak to anybody about that which is immeasurable, something that is beyond my ability, amen, to track out or trace. Amen. But that is only one of many possibilities of that word unsearchable. There's also in there a connotation that makes us think of measurement that has to do with value. And so the value of something that is so valuable that it is beyond calculation, invaluable, incalculable. It is beyond putting a price on it. Amen. And when we think about the riches of Christ, how do you measure that? You can't put it in a dollar amount or a dollar figure. I'm telling you, the riches of Christ are incalculable. There's no figures big enough to describe it. Praise God. Amen. You might remember hearing the story last year of that couple out in California. They were walking their dog one day and out in their own backyard. and it had a trail that went up into the Sierra Nevada mountains, so they're there at the foothills. They're in their own backyard walking a dog, and they see a little reflection of a rusty old can that gets their attention. You know where I'm going with this story? And they go over, and suddenly they realize that that old rusty can that's half buried, as they begin to dig it out, is filled with rare gold coins. You know, there was some debate about who could lay claim to that. It was in the news for some time, then disappeared from the news. They finally got where they could have an auction, and they auctioned off some of those coins. And based on that auction figure, the value of those coins that they found now are somewhere upwards of $10 million. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God! Amen. It makes you want to go through life walking around like this, doesn't it? Amen. Somewhere out there, there's a treasure buried in my own backyard, maybe. Maybe we ought to walk our dog more. I don't know. $10 million. They found these rare coins dated 1847 to 1897. After they dug it all up, there was 1,427 coins, gold coins. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me. No wonder Jesus said in that parable, the kingdom of God is like a man that is traveling through a field and he finds a buried treasure. And then suddenly he goes into town and he sells everything that he has so he can buy that field. Amen. Think about this now. Amen. There's a treasure in that field. Maybe not everybody else knows about it. It was barely sticking out, an old rusty can, and he happened to see it there. But he's not the owner of the property. And so if he's going to lay claim to that treasure, he's got to buy the property. So he goes and he sells everything that he has. And his family is saying he's lost his mind. And the neighbors have said that he's crazy. He's hawking everything he's got. He's selling everything that is of value to buy that crummy old piece of land. He knew something that the others did not know. Praise God. Listen, they call us crazy tonight. We're sitting here on these padded pews the last hours of the new year. They might think it's boring. We're giving up this. We're giving up that. Amen. We've sold out this. We've sold out that. But guess what? We know something that they don't know. Praise God. There's something buried in that field. There's something in that piece of land. I found it. Praise God. It's a treasure beyond calculation. Above $10 million. Oh yeah. Praise God. Amen. It's a number beyond comprehension. I'm glad tonight for the riches of the redeemed that have been made available to us. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the story that I read last year. Also, another treasure hunting story. There was a family that they make it their hobby to study out old shipwrecks along the coast. And so off the coast of Florida last year, they found a sunken ship there, and so they laid claim to it. They had done some research, and it led them to this spot, and they got in their scuba gear and went down there, and there it was, thousands of dollars worth of old Spanish coins that had sunk to the bottom of the sea. The thing that I thought was so interesting was when they found it, it was barely 100 yards off of the coast. Amen. Barely the length of a football field off of the coast. Well, I mean, there's no telling through the years how many fishermen lowered their anchors right over that spot and fished right there. Amen. 100 yards off, how many boys went swimming out in those very waters and missed the whole thing? Praise God. Listen, there's a lot of people missing it tonight. There's a lot of people that don't see what we see. Amen. But by the grace of God, he's made it available to us. We've discovered it. Amen. Oh, praise God. It makes me want to put on my spiritual scuba gear and go diving in again. Amen. We need to come up with another handload. Another pocket full. Amen. This is beyond description tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Which is another definition of this word unsearchable. It actually means indescribable. So in this sense, it's not just a calculation of value. It's not just the measurement of size, but it's undescribable, which means how do you put it into words? How do you tell what it is that you know about this thing? Amen. How do you describe the ocean, for instance? Amen. It's big, it's blue, it's water, it's wet. Amen. Listen, I think that sometimes even church people make the mistake that children at the beach make sometimes. Amen. And I used to love, as a child, going down to the ocean. I was raised in Southern California, as you know, and growing up, some of my fondest memories was of my mother taking us kids down to the beach there, Huntington Beach, and we'd play in the water, build sandcastles on the sand, knowing that in just a few hours the tide would come in and wash it all away. Next time we'd go and rebuild those same castles. That's a mistake that a lot of people in the world are making. Amen. Just keep rebuilding the same old worthless castles. And we'd go down to the ocean. You can look out and see that it's endless water in every direction. Amen. But we never got deeper than, you know, what our little bodies could venture out in, which may be a couple of feet deep. Those waves coming in would always frighten us back, you know. And listen, there's a lot of people that feel like they've been to the ocean if they can describe what it feels like to have the sand coming up between their toes and some salt water smell in their nostrils. But listen, that's not the ocean, amen. It may be a very small portion of it, but until you comprehend that while you're standing there, say, at Huntington Beach, where I went as a child, and you realize that you could turn your head towards the north and look all the way up around all the way up along the winding coastline of California, hundreds of miles up there to Sacramento and San Francisco, and then up to Oregon and Washington, and then on up into Canada, and it would still be the Pacific Ocean. And you could turn to the south, and you could look down that way. And you'd look down from where I was standing, and 100 miles or so, San Diego, and then you'd get into Mexico, and then South America, and down to the very tip of Chile, and it would still be the Pacific Ocean. But we're not done yet. Amen. You could stand straight and look over there, and if you could see it, hundreds of miles out there would be a couple of dots in the blue. Amen. That would be Hawaii. But keep on looking, because a little skip over Hawaii and you got to go way on over there to China before you see the other side of the Pacific Ocean. But that's not the only description of it. It's not just the height and the breadth, but it is the depth. There's places in the Pacific Ocean that are 7 miles deep. Amen. Oh, come on now, help me. I'm going to tell you, we go up, we put our toes in the water. Amen. We play around a few minutes and say that we've been to the ocean. And if we're not careful, we make that same mistake in church. We come up to the altar, put our toes in, go back. Amen. And nothing has ever changed, because we've lost our sense of wonder. We've lost our sense of reality, of the indescribable riches of Christ that have been made available to us. Would somebody say amen tonight? Praise the Lord. Several years ago, my cousin that I traveled with quite a bit before I met the Lord, my cousin was a scuba diver, and in fact, he enrolled in oceanographer school. And after his first semester down there in Florida at oceanography school, he come home and we got together, and he said, "Mike, you cannot imagine." He said, "I've gone scuba diving in the lakes of Connecticut and even some rivers and on the shoreline, but when they took us out for deep sea diving," and he said, "we went down there into these depths, and we're down there where I saw all kinds of colorful underwater plant life, fishes of all sizes and colors and descriptions." And he said, "and that wasn't the only thing." He said, "there was a point where our instructor said, now to roll over on your back. And we did, and we looked up, and looking up through the water, the sun's rays were coming down through the water. And underneath the water, somehow the sun's rays were bent, he said, into prisms of underwater rainbows of so many different colors. It's beyond description. Hey, man, I don't mean to bore you tonight. I'm just trying to figure out a way to describe to me and to describe to you and to rethink again what it means to have the riches of Christ. Indescribable, incalculable, unmeasurable. And we've got it tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, man, it is an amazing thing to know and begin to understand what Job had in mind when he said, past finding out. Amen. I think that the Apostle Paul might have had something of this in mind when he wrote his letters, his epistles. He's always digging around this same subject, like he's trying to see if he can't get some grasp of exactly how big, how bright, how beautiful, amen, this all really is. And so we read through his messages and we find out at least seven different types of riches that he describes. And in my mind, I'm imagining him looking at this great treasure and he's separating them out for us to, you know, to kind of understand. And so while he's putting, you know, piles of gold coins here and piles of silver coins there and rare jewels here, have been separating it all out, I see seven different things that he lumps together here as the unsearchable riches of Christ. He speaks to us multiple places about the riches of his mercy. Amen. The riches of his mercy. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad for the mercy that was made available to me just to be able to stand behind this pulpit as an unfaithful church member. Amen. Praise God. Oh, but for the mercy of God that has been made available to us. Where would any of us be if it were not for the mercies of God tonight that have been made available to us? If you've been studying the scripture any length of time at all, you understand that there is a significant difference between the word mercy and the word grace. Amen. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. All right? Amen. Not getting what we do deserve. We deserve that spanking. We deserve that punishment. We deserve, amen, to go to hell. Amen. Mercy says, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. But grace, on the other hand, is to give to us what we don't deserve. Hallelujah. You would think that it'd be enough just to realize that we don't have to go to hell. But that's not where the story ends. We get to go to heaven. I said we get to go to heaven. Amen. Streets of gold and gates of pearl. Amen. And, oh, well, what is heaven going to be like when we get there? Do any of us deserve that? No. Amen. But the riches of his grace has made it available to us. And so many other things that is lumped together in those things that we don't deserve. Paul identifies what he calls the riches of his glory. Amen. It has to do more with his presence and his power. These are things indescribable, uncalculable. The world certainly cannot understand it. The flesh cannot comprehend it. But by the presence of God, from time to time in our services, we have felt it. We have experienced it. The glory of God among us. What a wonderful thing it is. Amen. To be exposed to the glory of God, the riches of his glory. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he speaks of the riches of goodness, God's goodness to us, the many benefits of being a child of God. He speaks in Romans chapter 11 of riches of wisdom and riches of knowledge.
And then in Philippians chapter 4, he says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, I feel like a rich man tonight in the things that the world knows nothing about. Aren't you glad to be a poor, poor rich man tonight? Why don't you give God some praise? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Indescribable, immeasurable. Amen. Last year, we got to be out in Arizona. Actually, the last 2 years, the year before last, we were preaching in a camp meeting there at Phoenix, and Brother Randy Webb was the night speaker. Brother Randy Webb is a mountain boy, a mountain man from Virginia. He had never been farther west than Oklahoma, and he drove all the way out there from Virginia, drove all the way out there to Arizona, and took a side trip to the Grand Canyon. And then when he left, he went back to the Grand Canyon. When he came back this year to preach again, he went to the Grand Canyon before and after the camp meeting too. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon? All right, a few of you have. Now there's an object lesson for you. You walk up to the Grand Canyon, and as soon as you stand up by that rail, you hold on tight. You don't want to slip and fall, that's for sure. It's a long ways down there. And that blue ribbon that you see down there, that looks like somebody drew with an ink pen a little line. That's a river down there. Amen. That's the Colorado River. And it's a raging white water rafting river. And it looks like a little ink line down in there. You can't hardly fathom the depth of it, the width of it, the length of it, the beauty of it. You can see the Grand Canyon from a variety of perspectives. You can stand there like I have and cling on to that rail and look over the edge. Or you can, if you want to pay the money, you can ride in a helicopter and they'll fly you over and let you see the grand perspective. Or if you're an adventurous type, you can get on a mule train and ride a donkey down into that deep valley. Amen. I read about it. They said that there's places along that line where you're rubbing against the cliff on one side and looking off the cliff, sheer drop off on the other side. And that the guides usually say in those narrow places like that, take your hands off the reins and just trust the mule. I ain't going. I think I'll just stand up here, amen, and hold on to the rail and look over the edge. Amen. Oh, praise God. But listen, maybe, just maybe, I'm missing something. If I'm fearful about going exploring concerning the riches of God, amen. Friends, don't you think that in 2015 we need to be a little bit more adventurous? We need to be a little bit more excited. There needs to be something in us of an explorer that says, I haven't learned it all. I haven't seen it all. I haven't flown over it. I haven't gone down into it. I've stood here clinging onto this rail and hoping for the best. And I'm telling you, this unsearchable riches of Christ, we don't yet comprehend all of the things that God has for us. Praise God. Amen. I'm just about done. But let me tell you, the riches of Christ are not measured by time. They're not measured by distance. They are not measured by value. They are not describable. But they are real. They are real. Oh, for the riches of Christ. Amen. I'm surprised when I read that scripture in the book of Ephesians again. Listen to this, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. I'm just about done. And he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2 and 7, continuation here. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Pardon me as I enter into a realm that I know so little about and know actually nothing about because I haven't been there yet. But when I read scriptures like this, it blows my mind. Amen. That he is saying, in the ages to come, he will be showing us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Praise God. Brother Slaughter, I think about that. And I've already said, I know something of mercy and grace. I've been a recipient of that. But it's limited to my understanding, amen, of where I was at the time that he found me. I know what he forgave me of. How many of you are glad that you got forgiveness tonight? I know what he saved me from. I mean, or saved me out of, let me put it that way. I know what he forgave me of. I know the life he brought me out of. But do I really understand what he saved me from? What he saved me from? Do I know, amen, no, I can't know what my life would have been had I not met Jesus Christ. Amen. What prison would I have ended up in? What tragic death would I have died of? I had a couple of near-death experiences out there in sin. So I know, amen, that I was very close to dying and going to hell in my sin. Amen. But how many of those near-death experiences happened to me that I know nothing about? But oh, in the ages to come, he will still be revealing to me the exceeding riches of his grace. Amen. Beyond my ability to comprehend all that he has done for me. I'm glad to be saved tonight. I'm glad to be saved tonight. Praise the Lord. The riches of his mercy, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, the riches of his goodness, the riches of his wisdom, the wisdom of his knowledge, the wisdom of his provision. I mean, the riches of his provision. We are a wealthy people tonight. Oh, a treasure that we have found in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Sell all that you've got and buy that field. Sell all that you have and buy that field. You'll be so glad that you found, amen, that you bought, you paid whatever you had to pay to get that field. Because there is an incalculable treasure buried there, amen, that is going to be yours in the ages to come. Praise God. Amen. And I've got this one final thought I want to share with you concerning these riches. In case we're tempted to think that the riches of Christ are all contained in that far-off place called heaven, where, as I said in passing a moment ago, streets of gold and gates of pearl and foundations of emeralds and jewels. And amen. If we're not careful, we'll think that it's only in that era of the ages yet to come that we'll truly enjoy his riches, but not so. Oh no. No, according to chapter 4, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, the most startling thing of it all, if you can get some sort of a grasp on the vastness of this treasure, the beauty of it, the value, the size and scope of it, if you can begin to get any kind of a grasp on that and then read this, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. Several years ago, we were at a funeral, Sister Wilma Lentz. I know some of you, Sister Belt, and probably some of you others might remember Brother and Sister Lentz from down in Southern Illinois. Amen. Sister Lentz's funeral. Brother Desi Allen, her son-in-law, preached the funeral. I never forgot, amen, the description that he gave of his mother-in-law, and he said, I'm not trying to be insulting or degrading in any way. Amen. But he read this scripture. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And he described that day the difference in an earthen vessel and the wording of the earthen vessel. And And I've done some study in my own and verified that in those days there were vessels of honor. Amen. They were the carefully designed, intricately designed special vessels, kind of like your fine china that you only used on special occasions, or they contained family heirlooms or something of great value. Amen. But not so the earthen vessel. The earthen vessel was the equivalent of a paper cup. It was the disposable vessel of that time. Quickly made, it served its purpose. If it got broken, no big loss. It was not an heirloom. It wasn't of any great value. And so it was just an earthen vessel, just an earthen vessel, like our throwaway disposable cups. And Brother Desi said, concerning his mother-in-law, that you have been beneficiaries of the great wealth that she had in her life, wealth of grace and mercy and love and all of the things that made her wonderful life, but she was still just a paper cup. Amen. Praise God. I thought of it as we took communion tonight. This little cup here, so fragile, easily broken between our fingers. They're all gathered up after communion and are going to be tossed away after a while. We probably won't wash these and save them. Amen. Maybe. Brother George is here tonight. Amen. I don't know. But probably not, right? They're disposable. They're disposable, right? We all understand that. Did I lose you? I hope I didn't insult you, Brother George. I'm just messing with you. I love Brother George. Disposable. It was what we drank out of it that was symbolic and meaningful. Hello? Amen. Praise God. We are just disposable cups, throwaways. Amen. Nothing of value in ourselves, but we have this treasure in a throwaway cup. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad for the riches of Christ tonight. The unsearchable riches of Christ. I feel like a rich man tonight, having known Him and having Him know me. I'm glad to be a child of the King. How about you? Would you stand together and let's praise Him tonight? Let's praise Him. Let's worship Him. Let's thank Him tonight. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, for the grace that has been given unto me to preach this gospel, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to testify to somebody, to tell somebody, to share with somebody the treasure that we have, that we found in Jesus. As we approach this new year, I have a certain amount of fear, trepidation, the uncertainties of it. And even after nearly 40 years of preaching, I still shake my head and wonder why God would use me, why He would open up doors for me to preach to anybody about something that I can't describe. I'm so flawed at trying to communicate. Oh, but what a privilege it is to try. Hallelujah. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We're redeemed, amen. And as the redeemed of the Lord, look at the riches that have been made available to us. The riches of the redeemed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's lift our hands one more time. Brother David's going to come and take the service from here. But I think we ought to praise the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we bow our heads for a moment, church? Can we do that? Hallelujah. Man, what a privilege it is for us to have this treasure. This treasure, this wonderful treasure of God's grace and mercy in our life. Man, if you're here today and you don't know God, you've not experienced the treasure and the glory and the joy, amen, of knowing God. Amen, I want to give you an opportunity as we close out this service tonight. Amen, before the new year comes in, that you could have an opportunity to know the joy and to know and experience the treasure that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord and you'd like an opportunity, I'd like for you to slip your hand up. Amen, let me pray with you tonight. Amen, I think it'd be great for you to start the new year. Amen, having dedicated your life to the Lord and enjoying the treasures that are in Jesus Christ. Amen, would you slip your hand up? Is there anyone here tonight? Amen, you'll slip your hand up and say, Brother David, pray for me. Pray with me. Amen, I want to ask Jesus to come into my heart. I want my life to be different in 2015. I'd like to experience a change. I'd like to know the joy and the treasure that is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What about it, my friend? Tonight would be the perfect night if you just slip your hand up and say, let me accept Jesus into my heart tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Church, isn't it good to know the joy? Amen. To know the joy that we have in Jesus. Amen. To experience that treasure today. Hallelujah. Let's come to this altar. Amen. Each one of us that will. Amen. Let's rejoice in the treasure that we experience. Amen. Let's determine in this upcoming year, amen, that we're going to explore, that we're going to reach out. Amen. We're going to try to know more about our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.